our guest today is Mark R. Elsis, and the websites of interest today are November221963.com and JohnFitzgeraldKennedy.net. And tomorrow we will post the timeline, so be sure and check on the schedule page. I already have it there. I just haven't uploaded it yet.
And I haven't uploaded it yet. So tomorrow we're working with my webmaster to put up the initial, like I said, the initial, whatever it is, more than 170 pages now. So it will, this has been a labor of love, as I was sort of saying to you in the beginning. I want to reiterate, I cannot believe the amount of lying and deceitfulness, not only on the part of Israel in every aspect of the Dimona, but the Sheboygoyim's inside of the United States government already.
Right, they came in with FDR.
Yeah, they were coming in.
In mass. In fact, in my third book, I have a chapter called "The Red in the White House," and it's referring to FDR.
Well, I have a section here, that I just found a few days ago, an article about Joe Kennedy, and it's trying to be disparaging, but it says so much truth. In trying to disparage him, that I put it in as like part of the article in it, where he was the ambassador to England until, by the way, this is part of the problem why it's taken so long in the timeline, is that people have put out so much bad information, like just times and dates that are wrong, and it's like trying to. Just once again, a microcosm is when he was asked to get the ambassadorship, when he took the ambassadorship, when he was more or less thrown out, asked to resign from the ambassadorship. I had to spend probably an hour just to research that to get it correctly, because most people have it wrong. It's and I don't, now I'm sort of much more meticulous in my, especially with the timeline. And so, but you have him. What it comes down to is Joe Kennedy, John's father, or Jack, as his family is known, was the ambassador to England for almost 3 years, and until, I believe, November of 1940, when he was finally asked to resign. And got me thinking about this is he was thinking about, he has quotes saying, about all the Jews around Roosevelt.
Right,
and that's who is bringing the United States into war. And he has these letters with Father Coughlin and Charles and Charles Lindbergh. This is Joe Kennedy, and saying all these people that were America First isolationists, and saying the same things. They all were saying, it's the Jews that are in the FDR's administration that are pushing us to get into World War II. I mean, this was all these powerful, powerful people, Coughlin, Lindbergh, Kennedy, they still couldn't get the message out because, of course, these people controlled the top newspapers, the radio stations at the time in the film. And it was like, and of course, later on, the TV stations. Matter of fact, another thing that I stumbled upon just this week is that somebody came to Kennedy asking to start a fourth network. I think it was in late 50s or 58, 59, because the other three networks were already owned totally by the Jews. And so they wanted to start a fourth network. It was NBC, CBS, and then ABC. And so this is back when there were big three networks. And they wanted to start a fourth one. And it never got off the ground. But it was just, once again, saying that who already controlled the TV at this time, which is what, let me scroll back to the first page, is what I begin with. I say, when I'm asked who ordered or was behind the assassination of President Kennedy, my one sentence answer was, and still is, it was those who controlled almost all media back in 63, in parentheses, newspapers, films, radio, and especially television, that relentlessly put forth the narrative of Lee Harvey Oswald as the lone gunman assassinated by Jacob Leonard Rubinstein, and the single bullet theory put forth by Arlen Specter. And so you have, and the next thing I usually tell people is, I said, well, who is there to document? This is like, you know, JFK 101, but this is what I say in my next lines to anybody that asks. Oh, wait, you're saying you're talking about Jews, Mark, huh? How dare you? And I said, well, hold on. Who was there to document the event? You know about the Zapruder film, correct? Oh, yeah. I said, well, Abraham Zapruder was a 32nd degree Mason with a lot of contacts. There's an unbelievable amount of trails that he's left. But he's also a Jewish man. That's 1 in 1,000 chance. I said, okay. Now, the person who shot Oswald 2 days later, by the way, the first live murder on TV, that was. And so it's an interesting fact. But who shot Oswald? Oh, well, that's Jack Ruby. I said, yes, it's Jacob Leonard Rubinstein. I said, so it was a Jewish man who assassinated this supposed lone gunman. That's another 1 in 1,000 chance, correct? Oh, yeah, okay, all right. So I said, well, now you have the person document the event and the person that assassinated the assassin, supposed assassin, excuse me. Of course, Oswald had nothing to do with the assassination in the regards of shooting, which we can get into in a few moments. But you have two 1 in 1,000 chances. I said, just those two put together is 1 in 1,000,000, 1,000 times 1,000. And I said, then if you want to take it a step further, who put forth the single bullet theory? Well, that was put forth by Arlen Specter. Well, he was Jew also. And so now you have 1,000 times 1,000 times 1,000 chance. It's 1 in 1,000,000,000. That just these three people who were the person who documented the event, the person who killed the supposed assassin, and the person who put forth the single bullet theory to make sure that it had to be a lone assassin. This is 1 in 1,000,000,000 chance. And then they start scratching their head and saying, well, you know, oh, okay, and stumbling upon their words. And so just these three little instances, and by the way, this is what I found all along the line, as I did with my 9/11 timeline, when you start digging and digging and digging, the amount of Jewish influence, like, you know, when I said the 19 out of 27 members and it's 392 quadrillion to one, well, there's more to it. There was as I said before in your show, but it's very pertinent, in Vincent Begalusi's book, which is a very apologistic avalanche of a book, just huge book, but he's an apologist. But nonetheless, in that book, he asked one of the staff members, one of the lawyers behind the scene, one of these 27 behind the Warren Commission, he asked Redleck, did Arlen come up with the single bullet theory himself? And Redlick goes, oh no, it was Arlen, me, this guy, and this guy. Five people he names. And they were all Jewish. And then he said, and we came up with it, I couldn't believe it, in quotes, simultaneously. As if by, you know, they're the chosen people or something. I don't know. And then when I was working on, I just put in all of the different commissions and even the trial that Garrison and God bless Jim Garrison, bringing the only trial in ever for the, beside the spotlight trial, which came later on, which was not really, it was something else, not a real, it was, but you have Jim Garrison coming out and putting his neck on the line, and what they did to him is just, but what I found out in the Warren Commission, and I go tangentially jumping back and forth, but it's the same thing. What I found out in the Warren Commission was that and all the commissions, it goes the Warren Commission, then you had Ramsey Clark, I don't have them in front of me, the House, they were all of these, and the Church Committee, they were, even the Rockefeller had a committee for a short time, and there was even other small other ones. But the Warren Commission, it was a total setup from the get-go. And how it manifested itself, they were all cover-ups. When they were getting too close, they brought in this new attorney general, Ramsey Clark, whose father was attorney general, and later on a Supreme Court justice. But Lyndon Johnson brought him on, and he came into damage control right away because of books like Mark Lane's Rush to Judgment and stuff, that they were coming out with all sorts of unbelievable information that was exactly opposite of the Warren Commission. And it's interesting to note, by the way, the four major first writers that came out about this were all Jewish. And even though a lot of them did excellent work, they don't mention what we're talking about, including Mark Lane. And so, as far as I know, but they've done unbelievable work. But what I just found interesting, that these first four major writers were all Jewish. And once again, that is just, it was like, my God, and it's a thousand times, a thousand times, a thousand times, a thousand chance. It's like impossible.
Right.
So is it damage control? And I know damage control, that's why.
It's damage control.
Yeah. And it's done. This is what they do. But going back to the Warren Commission, once again, it was how it was formed. And it was, and I don't have it right in front of me, but it was a Yale, the dean of the Yale Law School, Rostow or something his name was. And he later was Assistant Secretary of State for LBJ. And his brother's a piece of work. But he is the person that called up Bill Moyers at the White House and the record of the timestamp of the call has been lost to history. But because of a lot of things around it, you can ascertain very close to what the time frame was. And what the time frame was right after Rubenstein assassinated Oswald. This call was made. And Bill Moyers should be – there's another person trying to get into heaven with supposedly doing good things later in life. This guy – anyway. But you have him calling up Moyers and saying that we have to get a commission, because there's already rumblings this is 2 days after, and right after Oswald was assassinated, he calls up and says, well, now that this guy is shut up, we need a commission to cover this thing up. A blue ribbon commission, to do this up. And he goes, I've already talked to Katzenbach three times, which this is the Nicholas Katzenbach memo that he started writing on November 24th and was put out, sent to Bill Moyers, a memorandum to Bill Moyers, it's called, but it's the Katzenbach memo on November 25th, which says what this guy told him to say. And he's the assistant attorney general, because Bobby Kennedy, of course, is in grief. But back to this guy who calls up Moyers, this Yale dean, Jewish, by the way, of course, Rostow. He is quoted as saying that while he's calling him up, this is the day of the wake of John F. Kennedy, Sunday, June 24th. He's in the rotunda and with hundreds of thousands of people waiting 10 blocks to go see, just pass by his coffin. And you have this guy calling up and saying, we're having a party. He actually says this. And when I came upon that, I rarely get like so angry and full of rage. It was just, what it is full of hubris beyond measure, because he had to know that this was going to be on the record. And he wanted it on the record. We're having a party, by the way. And he's the person behind this. And so this is who, where the Warren Commission comes from. And they got to LBJ right away, I mean, and Hoover. And so it goes, the amount of, and every committee, by the way, every different, like I was saying, commission that looked into this was set up to look into it as damage control, like the supposed Ramsey Clark committee, right. Commission. It's just because, and what he got was he got the forensic pathologists, the doctors at Parkland. By the way, every doctor and nurse at trauma room one in Parkland Hospital on November 22nd, 1963 said Kennedy had a blowout to the back right portion of his head. Every one of them, until some of them were gotten to, which is exactly what Clark did.
Wow.
And so, and then you have the and then you have the fake Bethesda autopsy with not forensic pathologists doing it, with military men doing it, with a whole room full of generals, including most likely what's his name, Curtis LeMay, puffing on a cigar up in the gallery, right, looking over the whole affair. You have it, so, and them saying, of course, the exact opposite, and then all of the amount of information I have it, what's his name from the AARB has a 5-part series, 6 hours and 30 minutes, on mostly what happened with the casket and what happened in Bethesda. I mean, the casket, the whole thing about the casket also, and the body transfer and all this stuff, and the Zapruder film all taken up, the Zapruder film, and here I go jumping again, taken up to Rochester, Eastman Kodak, and changed that very weekend. And the casket, two different caskets or three different caskets, was it, that came into Bethesda, and all these people on, it gets like mind-blowingly staggering of the amount of just information that they put out and put out wrong. It just, every step of the way, there is Jewish influence in this, every step of the way, as with 9/11. Also, and it just, and look, if once again, I will say this, if it was anybody else, and it, of course, it's not just Jewish influence, because all of these other people went along with it, these Gentiles, these sold out pieces of Gentiles went along with it. And for whatever reason, it's just, it that is what actually gets me more perturbed than the Jews doing what the Jews do, huh?
Sure.
It's the Gentiles going along with these people. And of course, you know, I guess there is a reasoning to it, that look what they just did, look what they can do. You can't go against them, or else you're going to end up the same way. And that's
the whole purpose.
Exactly.
I mean, that was a public execution that told every future president, hey, you do what we want you to do, or this is going to happen to you.
Yes. I mean, it was, as I've said before, they could have, he went to the Carlyle Hotel, where he used to stay in New York, in Manhattan, on 76th and Madison. And where, by the way, I picked up two major stars while I was driving my cab in New York. And I have the greatest story with John Denver, who, and Carl Malden, but John Denver, it's another show, but John Kennedy used to stay there, and he had they could have got him anywhere. By the way, there's another whole section, and one of the 100 sections is called the Chicago Plot. And here I go again, just jumping, because that's what happens. Is that on November 2nd, John F. Kennedy was supposed to go to the Army Navy game in Chicago.
Okay, we have a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Oh, homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Excuse me. And our guest today is Mark R. Elsas. And the websites are November221963.com and JohnFitzgeraldKennedy.net.
So on November 2nd, 1963, John Kennedy was supposed to go to the Army Air Force football game in Chicago, and at 11:40 a.m., the Chicago Secret Service got a tip which an informant identifying himself as Lee said, which I found very interesting. That what it comes down to is they had someone else already all set up for the assassination. And I forget his name right now. What's his name? Thomas Arthur Valley. And he had the same, he was dipped the same way as Oswald was. And I found this just extraordinary. And this is a whole section in and of itself. But they were going to assassinate him in Chicago. And at the last moment, because the same day, by the way, which is another section, the Niem brothers were assassinated on November 2nd, November 1st, November 2nd, which they were the president and his brother of South Vietnam.
Right.
And so they used that excuse for him not to go to Chicago. But they were tipped off on the Chicago plot. And by the way, I just jumped, you know, the assassination of the Diem brothers, that there was all of these assassinations. Like the same day, or 3 days before, the Prime Minister of Congo was assassinated, 3 days before he took office, Kennedy. And he didn't know about it for a while. I didn't know that. I went into it again this last couple of weeks. He went in, and that wasn't known for a while because Kennedy would have not, of course, allowed that. And this goes along with like Dag Hammarskjöld, the UN.
Right.
Now I have a little, not more than a little, like one whole page of this timeline is dedicated to that, because even I believe it was President Truman said that something along the line of the quote, like, this doesn't look like an accident kind of thing.
Sure.
And Kennedy said he was the greatest statesman of the 20th century. His plane crashed. And there's other story. I came out with a story about these other things that have just come out recently in the last few years about this assassination, about his plane going down in Africa, and trying to bring nationalization to these countries that were all imperialistic, taken over by whatever, France, England, Netherlands, all of these countries in Africa. And by the way, that was Kennedy's thing, and which is another thing. I believe it was in 57, he was the first person in the Senate, or in the Congress for that matter, I believe, to come out and want, was for Algeria, independence. He made a speech which brought a lot of heat on him, but he was, and all these other assassinations that I've saw, and I can't mention them all here, but there was a rash of these assassinations. The Dominican Republican, the on-again, off-again dictator, president of that country, was assassinated. Kennedy was trying to stop that. The Diem brothers trying to stop that. The Dag Hammarskjöld assassinated because he was trying to do the same thing as Kennedy, was trying to let these people rule themselves for good or bad.
Right.
It's let them have, and this is, you know, something, oh, the liberal. And by the way, another thing I found out about Kennedy is that, oh, he's supposedly this liberal guy. Well, you see what he does with the tax bracket. Okay, he brought down the tax bracket for both personal and business. He made the country flourish after his time, from 5 years after his time till LBJ screwed it up so bad. So it just every which way I was looking. I look at this man now, and I'm not trying to. This is not, you know. Look, he had his faults too, of course.
Well, yeah.
We all have our faults.
But I think those were exaggerated.
Yes, on purpose. Exactly.
Right.
Yes,
to discredit him.
Yep. Yeah, this is what I found out. Very, very apt point, Deanna. I mean, extremely apt. And you know, I meant to come back from the break and say thank you to RBN and to you, because to go over this once again, this whole, because we could spend shows upon shows upon shows upon all the different, you know, and I even, you know, most people can dwell on how many teams of assassins were there and bullets and.
Sure. Oh, okay. We have a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of True Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's the obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Mark R. Elsis, and the websites of interest are november221963.com and johnfitzgeraldkennedy.net.
And he was given last rites numerous times, which I...
Right, when he was two.
Yes, there was four or five different instances before he got his final last rites, and which it's just quite amazing. And one time he was in Japan, and his brother, he brought along his little brother Bobby, and Bobby saved his life. He was sort of saying, what is that, you know, my little brother have to come. And he traveled the world, John. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. He took off, and you know, in 1937, I believe, he brought his convertible over to Europe, and he spent 10 weeks driving around and South America and Asia. And I mean, and as I've listened to his speeches, and now adding all of these pertinent links to all of his different speeches everywhere, like when he went into Mexico, there was 2 million people that came out for him in Mexico City. And there was not, they say, there's not one sign against him. Or when he went down to, I believe it was Honduras. I mean, the amount of love that these people had for him, they realized the who this man was. It's actually extraordinary. It sort of goes along with when you see those around Hitler in the crowds. with mm-hmm. The admiration.
Oh, right, right.
I found it very similar. And you know, I'm jumping all around, but
okay.
I know it's just the foreknowledge, which I went over once before in the show. It's I didn't even think of it. I just added to this section the Chicago plot because, of course, that's foreknowledge, which I didn't have. I have like a 20 or 18 different things in this foreknowledge section. But just two very quickly, the National Security Action Memorandum 273, which was a draft. Which was a draft by McGeorge Bundy, was done on November 21st, which is rather interesting because, and it was then signed by LBJ as his first NSAM 273 on November 26th, 4 days after Kennedy's assassination, which very cutely reworded Kennedy's October 11th, 1963, NASAM 263, where he states, "We're pulling out of Vietnam." Which they have tried right. where they have tried these apologists, these Jewish, mostly Jewish writers, once again, I've tried to say he never said this. They're trying to erase it from history because sort of like Rudolf Hess, just erase him from history. Because sure. this shows what he was trying to do. And they're trying to, oh, he didn't do that. He didn't mean it. Da, da, da. Yes, I've dug into this. He meant it. He did it. From writers from Galbraith and Peter Dale Scott, very exemplary writers, have come out and written unbelievable articles on this, long, lengthy, very well-documented articles. Scott came out in 71 because he already saw what was happening and wrote a major article, which is in here. But you have this, McGeorge Bundy wrote this real interesting, the draft of this which turned out to be NASAM 273, the day before he's assassinated, and it actually... It changes what Kennedy was doing in 263 of the pullout in Vietnam. Now, what the hell? How did that happen?
Right.
Now, it's just that's boggling to me how that something like that happened. The other one that I had to spend quite a bit of time on, because I don't want to get anything wrong again, like Executive Order 11110, is the Clint Murchison party that happened the night before. Now, there's a lot of apologists out there saying that this party never happened, and they're real good. They say the timing of LBJ was over here at this time, da da da, and they're really cute. And it took me quite a bit of looking into this before I said, aha, that they're misleading in very devious, cunning ways. These apologists that have come out and said LBJ couldn't have done it, and Nixon was seen at the Coca-Cola, the Pepsi-Cola convention at this time with Joan Crawford or whatever, and we have pictures of them, and yet what it came down to is there's a lot of not just Madeline Brown, the mistress of LBJ for 21 years, that her testimony. And she's not coming out against LBJ. She still loved LBJ after he died. When anyway, but there's like the maid in Clint Murchison's house, May Newman, and Penn Jones, and then the one that got it for me, and it was timing. It was a lot of things got it for me, but it was the journalist Helen Thomas was at this party. And we all know what happened to Helen Thomas. Helen
yes,
Thomas.
Yes. I interviewed her. Do you
did
remember
you?
That? I did.
No. Why? Really?
Yes. Helen Thomas.
Well, yes, because what happened? She got
ambushed. She was amazed. She was amazed that there was a network that would actually talk about the Jews. She was incredulous.
Yeah, she was there in the front row at every press conference.
Yes, in a red dress.
Yes.
But she was so impressed with RBN.
For 50 years, until they ambushed her with, coming in
yes.
and saying that, and then threw her out, huh?
Yes.
So the Jews got her done. And I think what it came down to, there's a video which is linked in here from Helen Thomas, and she says, well, I was at the party. And here was and the meeting, and then the other guy, James Tague, in his book, he comes out and he has a whole chapter. And he says, there's he's alluding to it in the beginning, in this chapter in the book, there's a lot of controversy around the Clint Murchison party the night before. And he goes, but I've talked to this person, and da 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 da. And so there's a lot of evidence, including Helen Thomas. And not only that there's a party, and by the way, there was a guy, there was a society columnist, I forget her name, for now defunct Dallas paper, Val Immer or something, a woman that was also there and wrote about this, and this is gone. I can't find her article. It's like down. But she was at the party also. And now so they were saying, what happened is that there was a party for sure. And the meeting at this party, and this is Helen Thomas, and I write all the people that she says went into the secret room. I mean, not the secret room, the secret meeting at the party. And it happened most likely around 12:30 in the morning. So all of these times that people were trying to say, oh, LBJ couldn't have got there and Nixon couldn't have got there, where they're just trying to make you think that that this meeting happened a lot earlier. And a lot of them saying the party never even happened. It's amazing how these apologists, and they're CIA, because anybody that does their research couldn't not come up with what I'm trying to say here.
Sure.
Is that, and you see the who's who is at this party. It's just beyond amazing. And it's like, it goes from vice president, and the party was for J. Edgar Hoover. And by the way, not only the maid, May Newman, at the Murchison's house, they, by the way, she says, quote, for the week after that, they were champagne and caviar were flowing at the Murchison's house. And so, I mean, this, it goes along, but it was supposedly for J. Edgar Hoover, this party. And there's something else, an acquaintance friend of mine who I wrote, he hasn't got back to me on it, but there's this astronomical coincidence that happened that night also, which I haven't added it yet into it, but which I don't like really going there, but whatever. But the party was for J. Edgar Hoover. Now, May Newman says that the chauffeur went to pick up Hoover and Clyde Tolson, is number two at the FBI, and his lover. And you have these two coming in with the chauffeur, and the chauffeur relayed this to Newman, saying more or less, she asked, did they tip you? And he goes, no, they didn't even tip me. Both coming and going. And so, but you have Lyndon Johnson, J. Edgar Hoover, Clyde Tolson, Richard M. Nixon, H. L. Hunt, George Brown from Brown and Root, John McCloy, who was chairman at Chase Manhattan Bank, who was also a member of the Warren Commission, John Connolly, Cliff Carter, the national director of the Democratic National Committee, Clint Murchison Sr., and it goes on, and Earl Cabell, the mayor of Dallas, whose brother just happened to be General Charles Cabell, who was the deputy director of the CIA until, of course, he was fired by Kennedy. With the same day, Allen Dulles and Richard Helms was fired. And for Allen Dulles, of course, to be on the Warren Commission is the greatest conflict, and running the Warren Commission was the greatest conflict of interest you could ever have in this case. You have the former Dallas mayor there, Thornton. You have the owner of the Telegram there, Carter. You have the sheriff of Dallas County, Decker. It goes on and on. And supposedly they all agreed on their own accessories after the fact on this evening, and LBJ, you know, came out to Madeline Brown, and he's supposedly quoted saying, after tomorrow, those goddamn Kennedys will never embarrass me again. That's no threat. Yeah. That's a promise. And so this is Madeline Brown, who was his mistress for some 21 years. And so you have these, and supposedly also, which is supposedly, they each had to sign two different pieces of paper with all of their names on saying what they were going to do. And one was kept by LBJ and one was kept by Hoover. And you see, like, after the fact, after this party, you know, Hoover within hours is like calling LBJ and saying, well, he was done by Oswald, da 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 da. It's like, and being the whole Oswald thing, you know, it's I'll touch on a few things, but it's just beyond amazing. You have, let me get into it, the Altons, 6th photograph. It's a famous photograph taken of Kennedy, and it's an amazing amount of things in one photograph. And I have a whole section of photographs, and this will be put in there, this one photograph especially. And 5% of this photograph shows the doorway of the Dallas School Book Depository. And it very much looks like there's been a lot of work done on this, that it's Lee Harvey Oswald in the doorway, not Love, whatever his name, Love Lady or Lovejoy, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But you also have, you can see the bullet hole in the windshield already in this photograph. And when Kennedy, you see him in the Zapruder film, goes up with both arms and clinches. Well, that's the bullet hole that goes through the windshield into his entry wound in his neck, which they then did a tracheotomy in Parkland Hospital, which then they butchered it more in the autopsy in Bethesda. But you also have, which is a real interesting thing, you see the car in which LBJ is in, and you don't see LBJ. You see his Lady Bird and Yarborough, senator, I believe, from Texas at the time, and Lady Bird, but you don't see LBJ as if he's ducking already. Which
he probably was. I mean,
all in one photograph, by the way.
Yeah.
All in one photograph. This is this Allison 6 photograph, and you have a zoom in on the bullet hole in the windshield. Everybody is saying, "Oh, it didn't happen." Well, yeah. There's so many witnesses, including a very well respected doctor that was at Parkland and noticed the bullet hole, and she's a doctor, woman doctor, and said, "Oh, yeah, it was a through and through hole." And you see it. Matter of fact, I stumbled upon it in another photograph that nobody's ever talked about, this other photograph where you see Clint Hill getting on the back of the limousine from it might have been an Alton's photograph also. And it's you can see the – and I've never – not in any place else yet that has anybody's come up with this, I think. You can see the bullet hole in the windshield from this photograph, from the exact from now it's in front of you. From behind, the limousine is going away. Which, by the way, the limousine, Will Greer driving the Secret Service, almost everybody said it slowed down tremendously in the kill zone, or it momentarily came to a complete stop.
Which is interesting. And there was a curve. And when they actually, I have an article that I wrote some time ago about the person that changed the course. They changed how they were going to get to from one place, from the airport to where he was going to be. And they changed course completely so that it would be in a situation where they would have to slow down. And
yes, I'm looking into that again, but it you are correct in that they could have went straight down Main Street.
Right.
And why did they turn and then turn onto Elm, that 110-degree left-hand turn where they had to slow it down? And you see, by the way, you see when the first shot comes out, I mean, the first shot goes between Greer, the driver of the limousine, and Kellerman, who was in charge, sitting in the passenger seat. And Kellerman never moved, by the way. Kellerman never moved. Now that you see Clint Hill, who's on the backup car, he's the guy that jumps onto the limousine. So how the hell did he jump on a limousine when all the shots were already fired? One was coming up. Almost all the shots were already fired. And you have Clint Hill jumping up. He was there to protect Jackie Kennedy, First Lady. And so that is the famous photographs. You see him jumping on, and he almost didn't make it. But how does he get there? And you see in the second most famous video of this film is the Orville Nix film. And you see in the Orville Nix film, for at least 11 frames, the brakes are on the limousine. And it's not just that. All, the motorcyclists and the vast majority of the witnesses in Dealey Plaza, the closest witnesses, said it either slowed down tremendously or came to a complete stop. Just like the vast majority of witnesses ran and said the shots came from the grassy knoll. Mm-hmm. That's why they all ran there. And you see the first thing that was put out by Curry, the chief of police, he was saying, take a look at the triple overpass. And you have, like I said, the first the bullet coming through. And by the way, there's other bullets. There's a bullet that hits the around the front windshield on the inside, the chrome trim.
Mm-hmm.
There's a freaking dent in it, a bullet hole dent. Now, they're saying, oh, no, that was there. That was there already. Well, it wasn't there because the day before, there's a picture of it when he was in, when he just arrived in Texas in Fort Worth or wherever it was. And you'd see a picture and it's not there. So this happened there. There's other fragments that it just, that they didn't want to put out because there's fragments of bullets everywhere.
Sure. All righty. We're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
NutriMedical's CalmMind supports a relaxed mood and helps to support your brain neurotransmitter, helps lower blood pressure, helps to make you feel calm all day long, and helps to make it easier to go to sleep. CalmMind contains GABA. It also contains xanthine and L-theanine, an amino acid from green tea. And it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get CalmMind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on CalmMind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and it helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order CalmMind at NutriMedical.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
And our guest is Mark R. Elsas, and the websites are November221963.com and JohnFitzgeraldKennedy.net. And in 2 days, it will be the 100th anniversary of his birth. So we're talking about him, as are many other people. But they're not divulging the same kinds of information, for sure. Well, all righty, Mark.
Yes, it's to all of the the ballistics of it, which is what a lot of people like to talk about, which is what I ended it going into this the commercials. There, of course, you want to, you know, I want to know all the different details of that also. Just like, you know, the route change, it was put out in the papers. So Oswald didn't even know that the motorcade was going by until it was put out in the papers. Sort of like they had wanted for treason posters that were tracked back to Hunt.
Right.
Put these out. And the full page ad in whatever paper it was, Dallas, Fort Worth News or whatever, that said a full page, not ad, I guess it was an ad. It said, welcome, Mr. Kennedy, not president.
Wow.
And Kennedy.
Wow.
Yeah. Kennedy went to his wife, something about how these people are wackos. And, you know, just another thing is, I think, we're all thought that Dallas is this real conservative, waspy place. When what I've uncovered is that it was run by Jews. And this was I couldn't believe it. And certain people said, take a look at this and this and this to me, Mark.
Sure.
And I started looking into it, and you see behind the scenes who are running the shows in Dallas. Once again, the myth is put out that it's this, and it was a very conservative place, and most of the people there were WASP, and yes, blah, blah, blah. But who was running the show behind the scenes is also, you know, it. And so you, and by the way, you have this, all these bullets, which, you know, why it's important is that I have one video that shows all of these different bullets, you know, the one going through the windshield, the one hitting the chrome, and these others. There's one that was found in the grass.
That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.